All of you who were here 2 years ago, you will remember that I showed you a sample of the paper and a sample of the leather. Okay? Now you've got the completed product. Okay? If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. Even if we run out, we're going to print some more. Last year at the conference, all the elders plus as many as we could with the few that we had got a Bible. And then sometime in July, the rest of you got your Bibles. Now, since then, we've sent out almost all the Bibles that we had except the paperback. The paperback, we have about 2,700 left. And the reason we have that many left is because we still had a number of the New Testaments to send out to the prisoners and those who were incarcerated. And we sent it out to them free, and that is part of our general, what you might say, community work to help the community. We know that perhaps not many of them will be called, but we also know it gives us a responsibility to help them find what they can do to get their lives straightened around. And if we can help them come back to the community and be upstanding and be law-abiding, that is our contribution to wherever they go. Now, we have sent out probably to various inmates probably well over 3,000 of the New Testaments. We are now out of the New Testaments except two boxes. And so we're going to start sending the paperback edition of the Bible. And we know that won't last too long. As far as the leather Bibles are concerned, it started out this way. Leon Ritchie called and said, "Fred, why don't you run an ad in the Washington Times and see if you can sell the Bible?" So we ran an ad, York Publishing, for the Bible. And then we also enlisted Bob Ellsworth, who has experience in selling books and cassettes and CDs. And he actually has a language website where he sells all different kinds of CDs for languages. And I've known him for years. And as a matter of fact, for those of you who go way back, he lives just across the street from the campus. And his address is 111, remember that number? South Orange Grove. And if you ever watch the Rose Parade, when you get the shot from ABC and you see a condominium kind of in the left one quarter of the page, the third story corner one is Bob Ellsworth's condominium. So he assisted us with this. He also let us use his 800 number when we published the Bible for York Publishing customer service, as well as the Amazon.com that we have there. And so since he is all set up to take care of the credit cards and everything, we had him run all the credit cards through his system, and we paid him $10 for everyone that he processed. Well, we had such a good response, and he's had the experience in doing it, so he said, "Well, let's put an ad in Biblical Archaeological Review," after we had been running the ad in Washington Times for a while, and so then we put it in the Biblical Archaeological Review, and have really had a good response, and we're running the third ad now. So then it got to the point that we were sending out so many Bibles, we were so busy in the office that it was hard to do everything we needed to do. So Bob said, "You sell the Bibles to me, and I will advertise, and I will sell and mail the Bibles." And so he knows how to advertise. He knows where to go. And he knows where to put the ads. And so that's what he's been doing. He's been in a lot of different magazines and periodics, even the Christian Science Monitor. And he got a call from a woman who ordered one who got the ad out of the Christian Science Monitor, and she said, "I've been waiting for a Bible like this all my life." So we're very thankful that people like that can get it. Now, here's what has happened. He has been so successful with selling them that we now only have a little over 600 leather Bibles left out of 7,000. Out of the 7,000, we gave about half of those to all those who were on our mailing list and so forth, because when we have one on the mailing list, that generally represents two or three and sometimes four people. So all who were on our mailing list got a Bible without cost. Then, in order to help build up the replacement and publishing fund, those who wanted to give them to relatives and things, they gave a contribution of $50. So when Bob wanted the book sold to him, we figured out the price based on the $50 donation. So if we have the $50 donation and we were giving him 10 to process it, that brings it down to 40. And so we figured the cost and we said, "Okay, Bob, you can buy the Bibles for $42. And he takes care of everything. So he's been selling them big time. He has even other plans for selling more of them. So we're very happy about that. And so we're right now in the final process of getting the second edition finished. And right during this conference, I got the final sample of the paper, which will be in the second edition, just like it was 2 years ago at the conference. So, very happy about that. We're all ready to go. Now, to do 13,000 Bibles is going to cost roughly $250,000, roughly, well, we have to put the freight on there, so that's about $260,000. So, between building up our cash reserve toward this time, and from the donations that people have given for the extra Bibles that they purchased, plus from the sales of the Bible. Now, from the sales of the Bible represents money that doesn't come out of the brethren's pocket. And so we've been able to add about $40,000 from those sources. So just before I left, I wire transferred $170,000 over to Lithopak in China, because we found out the Indian company couldn't do quality work. And we should have all but about 20,000 of the remainder, 90,000. That should all come from the sales of the Bible. Now, with the second edition going out, we hope that from the sales of the Bible, it will be self-supporting, which will be very significant. Now, this means that we will be able then to use the church tithes and offerings to do things to reach out to people. So we're improving the website. That'll soon be all up and ready. We are also going to start church at home. Remember 4.5 years ago, the last November conference we had? I talked about church at home. Well, we've had those domain names for 4.5 years, and now we just about have the studio ready. It is going to be a website video site, and these will be messages for new people. It's not going to be a church service. It's going to be helping people to get introduced into studying the Bible. And we're going to cover things from a brand new, fresh approach. We're going to have it in half-hour segments, and we're going to take advantage of the 12-minute attention span. You know what it is when you watch TV? You know when the commercial is coming. Then when it comes, you get up, bang, you go get something to eat, you go to the restroom, and in 3 minutes, you're back there to watch what goes on. So what we will do, we will start out with an introduction. We'll go for 12 minutes. Then we'll have 3 minutes of advertising. And then we'll go for another 11 minutes. And then we will end that segment. Now, you know the way that I speak. It's going to end up being many continuous series. But with the studio, there's going to be a virtual reality background. So by using background video in a mixer, I can be anywhere in the world but in the studio. See? And the opening that I want to get is we start out in space and we come down through the solar system, all this quite quickly, get some nice music to go with it, come down past the moon, come down to the earth, come down to the United States, come down to a city, come down to a neighborhood, come down to a house, and voila, welcome to church at home. And I will have a virtual reality of a very plush office. But if you look at the true background, it's an awful color green. So we just about have the studio ready to go. And also, Jim Hiles, who does all of the video for us, and Jim, stand up, would you please? Jim Hiles helps me in everything. And his wife, Betty, does all the care packages. So wave your hand, Betty. So if you've gotten care packages, she did it. And all the fall videos for the feast will be done in the new studio. So we'll have that ready to go. Now, I have to tell you something that turned out to be an unknown gift. I was talking while I was here at the conference to Ron Carey, our webmaster, and we were talking about the Bible and also how to have an avenue for more people to come to the website. Let me tell you just a little bit about the website. We are sending out, I'll have to get the correct figures, but I think it's about 10 gigabytes of printed material downloaded by those who visit the site. That's a phenomenal amount. That is per month. So there are a lot of people out there who are trolling, trying to find the truth. And so we have reached kind of a plateau with those coming to the website at about 37, 38, 39,000. So as I was talking to Ron the other day about how can we improve it so more people will come to the website, I thought, well, maybe we could do something with the Bible. So I said, why don't you check out and see if there are any domain names where we could use, you know, something like the original Bible, something like that. So he said, okay. So he checked it out, called me back in 3 hours, and he said, you won't believe it. The three words, original Bible restored, is available, and we purchased it for .com, .net, and .org. So if someone does a Google search and says, oh, I wonder if there's any such thing as original Bible, bam, there they are. So we're going to set it up with a shopping cart. They can buy it right there. We're going to set it up with some pages of the Bible, some of the commentaries, some of the scriptures, some of the appendices. And especially the one, why so many Bibles in the world, we'll have that there. And then they will be able to click through to our website. And because there has been so much deception in religion and people are being turned off in religion, yet there is still an inkling to find God. and especially in troubling times. And speaking of troubling times, remember when the remark was made that the people in Pennsylvania were bitter, cling to their guns and Bibles? The very first order from Washington Times for a Bible was from Pennsylvania. Well, see, in these times, everyone needs the Bible. Everyone needs God. You don't need religion. And speaking of that, I got a call from New York. And it was Mary. And she called, wanted me to be on a radio program June 26th. Now, Pacific time, that will be from 8 to 11. Eastern time, that'll be from 11 to 2. So I don't think you may want to stay up for that. But these people are ex-Jehovah Witnesses. And you know what she told me? When we were talking about religion and so forth, she said, if you think there's pedophilia in the Roman Catholic Church with the priest, you haven't seen anything until you know the truth about the Jehovah Witnesses. And I said, ho! So I'll have to mention those websites in a letter so you can look at them. I think it's abusedlambs.com or abused sheep, and then battered sheep, because they have a lot of spousal abuse. You see, God says that we are to be known because we love each other. Is that not correct? Yes. So anyway, she called because she wanted to have me on the program and go through the topic, why God hates religion. And Bob Honeycutt's the one who started it. But that's fine, see? You know if something is good if it lasts a long time. Thank you, Bob. So what we're doing, we're putting all of those on a CD, and then we're going to have those who want to go to the website, they can download those sermons. Why God hates religion? Why does God hate religion? Because religion ends up separating people, abusing people, fleecing the flock, and he also gave a sermon on that, who's robbing God. And they end up by being politicized and all of this sort of thing. That's not of God. God's way is a way of life. Religion maybe can help you be a better person, but God wants to give you eternal life. He doesn't want you to be a better person only. He wants you to become like Him. He doesn't want you to learn how to discipline your mind to do certain things. He wants you to learn how to think like Him. And He gives you His Spirit, and He gives you His Word to do so. And that's why God hates religion, because men come along sanctimonious, steal the Word of God, lie about God. It's not something. They pick up the Bible, which is Word of Truth, misconstrue it, turn God into a lie when the truth is right in front of them. That's why God hates religion. Well, anyway, June 26th, it'll be there. Okay. Now, we have two other things that are going to come quite quickly. We have two more of the youth series out of Proverbs. Those will be coming quickly. And we're going to send you all of them because, as Dolores says, a lot of adults like to work out those word puzzles. So you'll have a chance. Then we have the coloring books for the fall feast already done. We are working on God's Bible pathway for children. And we're working on the last section now, which is my Bible pathway for the children. This is like 8 to 12. So we'll have those things going. Now God tells us that we have three missions in life. This morning we'll cover the first two. This afternoon, we'll cover the third one. So we'll cover what we do as a church. Now, a church is not a building. A church is the assembling of those who have the Spirit of God, the elect, the called out ones, those who are saints. That comprises all the brethren, all the elders, the ministers, and all those who have God's Spirit. And let's understand something very, very important. A corporation to run business for the church in the world has nothing to do with the spiritual aspect of the church. That is only to do business. No corporation, which a Catholic church is and other churches are, can say that their individual group is the only church of God on earth, because God has many, many people that He's working with that we know nothing about. For example, have you ever heard that there are 13 million Sabbath keepers in China? And you know how they have to meet? By word of mouth. By prayer. Because they have to meet in homes. And they get arrested, they get beaten, they get put in prison. Never hear a word. But they belong to Christ. There are those, and I need to mention those that we have in Ethiopia. And Kashan does the translating. He's translated many of the books. And those people over there have never heard of anything like what is in the Bible. And he said their Bible is a pile of junk. So he's translating from the English into Hamitic. Where else is God working? There are other people working in Thailand. There are other people working in the Ukraine. There are other people working in South America. There are those working in Mexico. All different parts of the aspects of the Church of God. We're only one part of that. And brethren, when we pray, we need to pray for all the churches of God, that God would grant His Spirit, that He would energize them, because we're living in dangerous and terrible times everywhere in the world. Now, as long as we have what we have, and it's going to be lost in America in a short time, we better get busy, we better be spiritually alert, we better do the things that we need to do collectively to reach out to the world. Now, God is opening the doors, so that's going to happen. And I hope that one of the main vehicles will be being able, and I ask you to bless Bob Ellsworth in selling the Bible, because we're getting 13,000 more of them at the end of August. But if they have the Bible, they have the whole gospel. It's up to them to read it. Now let's come to Matthew 18, page 994. No, not 18. 28 and verse 18. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Now you see what is important always to do, brethren. And this is reflected in everything that God has written to us and what Jesus has taught us. And reflected even in the prayer that we heard the Halverson sing so eloquently. How does the prayer start out? Our Father who is in heaven. What comes next? Your kingdom come. Everything that we do collectively is toward that. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. Every day, God has us focused on His kingdom. And the departing words of Christ, after He was resurrected from the dead and saw the disciples and the 500 brethren and so forth for 40 days, verse 18, He told them. Matthew 28, verse 18, page 994. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Because He was the creator of the heavens and earth. He was the creator of all mankind. And now the biggest work that he's doing, as we will see this afternoon, is what he's creating in us. That's God's greatest work. Now notice what God tells us to do. Therefore, go and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end or completion of the age. Now, the work that we do collectively, and I can't do anything, brethren, without your prayers. And I'll just say this, the tithes and offerings that you send in, we use that to serve the brethren. We use that to help you. And everything that we're doing here today, the meal that we're eating, the conference that we have, and the conference is necessary so that we have men who are competent, men who understand the Bible, men who love God, men who love you, so that you can be brought up in God's way. That's all from the tithes and offerings. That's what it's for. And I don't need a big salary, and I don't draw a big salary because there's too much to do. Don't need it. House is paid for. Car is paid for. I don't wear jewelry. I don't need expensive things. Now, that's a disadvantage because I don't know what time it is. However, we are here because of what all the apostles did after Christ ascended into heaven and after building his church and causing the Bible to be the New Testament to be written and preserved for us. And now we live in the end of the age when Christ has called us to work in other people's labors. This Bible would not be possible without those who wrote it, without those who copied it, without those who preserved it, without those who died for it. We wouldn't have the English Bible except for one man, William Tyndale, who for 12 years chased from pillar to post, translated the New Testament and the Old Testament when he was in prison, so we could have the Bible. So we enter into their labor. And Jesus told the apostles, don't say there's 4 months till the harvest. He says, look around. The field is white. That means ready for the harvest. And likewise, don't be discouraged for the things that are happening in the nation. They're happening because people have abandoned God. They're happening because the majority of the people want to live in their sins. And they haven't repented and turned to God. So these things are coming. But when they come, step by step by step by step by step, God is giving those people an opportunity to wonder, why, Lord, is this happening? Why is this coming upon us? How are these things coming about? And they start seeking God. They start seeking answers. That gives an opportunity, don't you think? That's why I say, pray for all the churches of God. Because if we don't preach the gospel to the world, and we can't wait for the two witnesses and, you know, we're resurrected and God says, well, why didn't you preach the gospel? Oh, Lord, we're waiting for the two witnesses. We didn't know what to do. See? No. Says there, you'll be beaten with many stripes, I guess. I don't know. See? That's why he gives this as an ongoing thing to the completion of the age. Now let's come to Isaiah 55 and let's see the process. Isaiah 55, page 544. But pretty soon you'll get used to where the books are in the Bible. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. This is a tremendous chapter, brethren. Ho, everyone who thirsts. And when trouble comes, they're thirsting. They want to know. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which never satisfies? Hearken diligently to me and eat what is good. What did we read yesterday in Psalm 34? Oh, taste and see that the word is, that the Lord is good. And the pasture that the brethren are nourished from is the word of God. And the strength that makes that grow is the Spirit of God. And let your soul delight in fatness. And that means the richness and the depths of the word of God. Bow down your ear and come to me and hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Because as Marlon said this morning in his message, repentance is a great gift of God, available all the time. So he's calling them to repentance. Behold, I've given him for a witness. Now this blends into Christ. To the people, a prince and commander of the people. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know. A nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. That's talking about all the people that will be converted and brought to Christ because he came and gave his life and rose from the dead. Verse 6, here's what we're to do with this. Seek the Lord. That's what we need to do every day. What is the promise? Seek and you shall find, right? Knock and it shall be opened, right? Ask and you shall receive, correct? Yes, indeed. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Because also, as we get down into the more desperate times, we know what God told Jeremiah concerning the people. He said what? Do not pray for this people, nor lift up your voice to me for them, for I will not hear you. So we can't wait for that time to come. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, because you see, that's where wickedness and righteousness begins. Not on the outside, but on the inside, as Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now the ones that God is going to call are those out in the hedgerows. And a lot of them have gone through a lot of different things in their lives, and they need a lot of mercy, they need a lot of compassion, they need a lot of forgiveness, they need a lot of instruction, all from God. But God uses people. And consider that all of us, every single one, whether how much you know or don't know, can be kind of a person for God to help others who are in trouble. Even if you say, hey, I don't know too much, but go to this website. Or, hey, I don't know very much, but here's a book, read this. Every one of us can do that. I'm sure some of you are here because of that, right? Yes, indeed. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now think on that for a minute. Think about the tremendous blessing of receiving the Holy Spirit, which comes from whom? God the Father and Jesus Christ from heaven above, correct? For what purpose? That you and I and all of those who repent, whom God calls, can what? Learn the thoughts and mind of God. Isn't that something? So what we need to do in this is keep the big picture ahead of us and what God is doing. And think how absolutely great and marvelous that is to have the Holy Spirit of God But having it, he expects us to use it and work and produce some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth. And what is the Holy Spirit likened to? Water. Waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be which goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. And everything that's gone out of God's mouth is right here. It's called the Word of God because He spoke it and was recorded and inspired the writers so we can have it. Tremendous gift, isn't it? People run around and say, "Where's God? I wonder what He wants." Hey, it's right in front of you. So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall certainly do what I send it to do. You shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Now, what is this talking about? The kingdom of God, right? Yes. Now, here we have an undoing of everything in the Garden of Eden, correct? Verse 13. Instead of the thorn, the fir tree shall come up. Instead of the briar, the myrtle tree shall come up. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial and for an everlasting sign which shall not be cut off. Now, that's tremendous. Now, you can just put in your notes here another verse in reference to this. It says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, and it shall return to you." So that's what we're doing. Now, let's see what it's going to be like in the end time. There are going to be some things that will happen, some things that even the prophets would like to have known. Let's go to Daniel 12, page 864. Daniel 12, 864. I'll help you remember where Daniel and 1st and 2nd Chronicles are, and Ezra and Nehemiah. Daniel, Ezra and Nehemiah, 1st and 2nd Chronicles were all written just before and after the Babylonian captivity, or rather during and after. So those are toward the end of the Old Testament. That's where they should be. All right, Daniel 12. Let's pick it up here in verse 12. And I've often wondered, I wonder how Daniel felt. He gave all these tremendous prophecies. He comes to the end, and he's there very anxious. He wants to know, what is this, Lord? So he was told here, verse 4, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Now, we're going to learn a real lesson here with this. Let's understand how God fulfills His prophecies. He does not fulfill His prophecies to a little bit. So you have to try and look for the results. He fulfills them to the absolute maximum. Just take how knowledge has increased. And it's increasing so fast now they can't keep up with it. Knowledge is getting to the point that it is doubling every 2 months. Now think about the knowledge of the Word of God. Has that increased? Do we have more understanding? Yes, Jesus said, and even Peter confirmed it, that we know and understand things that the prophets wanted to understand and couldn't understand, and even things that angels desire to look into. So we're the ones, time of the end, that it's going to be open to us. That's going to be open to us, providing we love God, serve God, obey God, and do His will. So then Daniel wanted to know about it. Come down here to verse 9. He was told, well, you're not going to know. Often wondered when it was his last week of life. I wonder what he was thinking, how long it would be. I don't think he had a clue, nor did anybody have a clue that it would be over 2,500 years later. Isn't that amazing? Verse 9. He said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And who are the ones who are wise? Those who love God and serve Him. So this is why, as we go along, we will be able to understand the prophecies. And we can see that it is, as it has been described, that we live in perilous times. On an individual basis, men are lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, lovers of sports and all of this sort of thing. All they have is, Paul wrote to Timothy, a form of godliness, but they deny true godliness. That's the age we're living in. But that can be turned into fertile ground. All right, let's come to Mark 13, page 1011. Now we even understand things that the apostles didn't understand. Think of that. We can read what they wrote, and we can understand it. They wrote it, and they only had a partial understanding. So that's quite something to contemplate too. But let's see exactly how this comes out. Mark 13. Let's pick it up right here in verse 1, page 1011. And as they were going out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, Master, see how splendid the stones and buildings are. Then Jesus answered and said to him, Do you see these great buildings? And when they looked at the temple from the Mount of Olives, looking across, it was 650 feet from the floor of the valley up to the top of the temple. All white stones. Mammoth work. Great work. And people get taken back of all the projects that they have. Look at the big skyscrapers that they're building everywhere in the world. They're even contemplating some that will go up to astronomical sizes, and they're working on the engineering of it. But you know what Revelation says concerning those buildings and those cities? When God shakes the earth, we're all going to fall flat. So the moral of the story is, do not be impressed with physical things. And also remember this, physical things do not equal righteousness, and physical things do not necessarily mean that there's a God's a blessing. Because the greatest blessing is God's Spirit. So he told them, there shall not be left a stone upon a stone that shall not be thrown down. And that is true. Where the Western Wailing Wall is, that's part of what was Fort Antonio. That was Roman property. There's not a hint where the temple was. Where people say that's where, you know, the Mosque of Omar, that's where the temple's going to be. That's not where it's going to be. Verse 3, and as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, across from the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew came privately and asked him, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished? And Jesus, in answering them, began to say, Be on guard. This is for all of us all time down through history of Christianity. Be on guard, lest anyone deceive you. Have we not seen that? Yes, indeed. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they shall deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled. For it is necessary that these things come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now let's understand something. As you read this, we can comprehend it, can't we? From this point of view. Do we hear of wars and rumors of wars? Yes, every day. Before there was television and the modern means of transportation and communication, how long would it take for them to hear of wars and rumors of wars? Well, as long as a sailboat to get across the ocean. Maybe they'd never even hear of it. Or if they were within, say, 200 to 500 miles, maybe by donkey back. So when you really read this, this was written for today. For nation shall rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in different places. There shall be famine and disasters. Is that not what we see today? Yes, indeed. And they're knocking on the door here, aren't they? Yes, indeed. These things are the beginning of sorrows. So if anyone tells you the Lord is coming just, you know, in a couple years, remember what we've learned. What has to come first? The king of the north and the king of the south, right? Yes. And everything is being prepared for that, as well as a world banking system. I'll bring that in another sermon. Now let's continue on just a little bit more here. But keep yourselves on guard, for they shall deliver you up to councils and to synagogues. You shall be beaten, you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a witness against them. And because of this, did you know that every one of you are listed on the Homeland Security? Not by person, but by group. Because you literally believe in the Bible, you believe in the return of Jesus Christ, you believe that the kingdom of God is going to be set up, you believe that the United States and Britain are the descendants of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh. Now, why do they have you on the homeland list? Why do you suppose they painted such a broad brush, even including some veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan? Potential terrorist. Because all they have to do is name you as one of those, and they can tap your phone. That's why. And the brush was so broad, it includes nearly everybody. Okay, so we will be brought up. That's why you need to have it in your heart and in your mind, so that you can relate to them what is going to happen. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. And as I mentioned before, there is a company in eastern China that is printing 800,000 Bibles a year for the United Bible Societies. And it's my own personal belief. Now, we have our part in it with this, but it's my own personal belief that God is going to saturate the world with Bibles in almost the majority of the languages of the world. And also there's a reason why English is an international universal language, so they can read the Bible. God is not going to give himself a puny little witness and someone will say, well, I never heard of the Bible. He's going to send it to China. He's going to send it to India. He's going to send it to Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Uzbekistan. And he's going to send it even to the Arab nations. God is going to give a witness. So, brethren, we're a part of that. We need to realize it. Now, the other part, the second main thing, is what we covered yesterday at the elders' conference. And I called it the elders' covenant. Because we're not here for personal aggrandizement or glory. We're not here to enrich ourselves off of you. We're here to serve you. We're here to teach you. And so you'll be getting that on one of the CDs. But Jesus asked Peter 3 times, Simon Peter, do you love me? Says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Said, feed my lambs. He asked him a 2nd time. Now, he asked him this 3 times because he denied him 3 times, right? Yes. So he said the 2nd time, Peter, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know all things. I love you. He said, shepherd my sheep. Then he asked him a 3rd time, and Peter was a little irritated, and he said, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord, I love you. He says, shepherd my sheep. Because when there is work reaching out to the world, God is going to use that to call people. They are going to be brought to repentance and to conversion, to baptism, and they need to be fed and taught because God is calling them to eternal life. And so we have to give them those things. We have to teach them. And now we have a time, and we'll end right here. Let's come to Ephesians 4. And let's see what the purpose of a ministry is. Ephesians 4. Now, we're not going to get all consumed in what people look at as offices, because what we're going to read here about the ones, we find this here, page 1191, all right, and let's pick it up here in verse 11. Let's understand this about how God views the churches. Christ is the head of all of those various churches wherever they are in the world. He uses men, however, to teach. He does not give them great offices, but he gives them functions to do. So verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles. An apostle cannot be self-appointed, but has to have seen Christ. So if someone says, I'm an apostle, you better walk away, because it ain't so. And some prophets. Now, prophets do not necessarily mean exclusively to foretell the future, but the foretelling of the Word of God, both. And some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Here is the second great mission. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying, that is the teaching and uplifting of the body of Christ. Now let me just mention here. The best way that you can be corrected is that you correct yourself with God's Spirit. And the best way you can learn how to do that is through personal relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father, studying the Word of God. And for those who are the elders and teachers to teach the brethren how to live their lives. Not control them. The best way you can overcome a problem is be taught the tools on how to overcome problems. Because you know what the problem is, isn't that correct? Yes. And the other great key about it is this. If the elders and teachers do that, they also understand something that is also very important. The brethren must be inspired by the preaching and the Spirit of God to want to love God, to want to do what God wants them to do, to serve God. And when they are inspired, they will do it. Is that not correct? Yes. And that's the work of the ministry. And for the edifying of the body of Christ until we all. Now notice Paul includes himself. Notice what the goal is. So we've seen two goals, right? The kingdom of God, correct. And under that, the preaching of the gospel. And under that, here's the purpose of your life. Verse 12. Purpose of the ministry. For the perfecting of the saints. That's what it is. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all of us together come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Those are the two main missions of the church, the collective body of Christ, being all those who have the Spirit of God, all the brethren, and we are all brethren, and the elders and teachers, so that we can be perfected with the Spirit of God. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.